Welcome one and all to the Backstretch Podcast. I'm Zoe Cabman, joined as always by Jeff Siegel. And Jeff, at the beginning, we have a little bit of happy talk, and you have down here Valentine's Day advice. What do you have for the listeners out there, Siegel, coming from, you know, yourself?
Well, if you're gonna buy your better half a nice gift, I mean, just do it right. That's, you know, like, for example, I was thinking about what I would give, and I saw that $5 million necklace that Charlize was wearing on Oscars Day, and I figured that would be a good gift, you know.
If why you not? Could afford it.
Well, I mean, I checked it out, and unfortunately, there are none available anymore, so I can't go that route. So I'll have to come up with something creative. And
I'll just take the money. I'm good with the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, people don't sometimes need a necklace. They'd be fine with the $5 million if you're ready to give it up.
Well, it doesn't have the same...
Je ne sais quoi?
Yeah, that's exactly whatever that means. Yes, it doesn't have that, you know.
So, all right, well, that was Jeff Siegel.
But anyway,
Siegel on
it's
Valentine's
Friday, so don't forget
Day
now.
Advice.
Don't forget. You're going to get in trouble if you forget that. It's Friday. Remember, Friday, Valentine's Day.
You heard it here first. All right, Siegel, well, let's have a look back to the San Vicente. Raced on Sunday. I just got back from Kentucky. I walked into the paddock and I look up. 1-9 on the dial, and that is the power of Bob Baffert over the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champ and the Eclipse Award winner, Storm the Course.
I thought it was the power of me ranking him number one.
But yeah.
Well, right. That's okay. It could have been both, you know, or one or the other. But I was very interested in Nadal, as everybody was. Not so much that I, you know, from a gambling standpoint, but whether he was going to verify or justify the first start that he had had.
Nice pun.
And I thought, under the circumstances, two things that happened that in that race, in Nadal's three-quarter length victory over Ginobili, Storm the Court finishing fourth. One is that I thought he actually showed a tremendous amount of quality in being forced into a 44 flat half inside of a very good horse, a horse who was way better than people think he is, and that's Ginobili, very fast horse. To be able to shrug him off and hold sway, and then hold off the closers who were far removed from that. So that was the first thing that I was very impressed with. But I also thought maybe he's not really going to be a mile and a quarter type horse. I know he's by blame. He should run all day and all that. But I'm just not convinced after watching that race that he will be a mile and a quarter horse, which is what we're talking about here. I mean, we know he's a good horse. There are a lot of good horses that run a middle distance. We're looking for the Triple Crown type of horses. I'm not sure Nadal is that. Zoe, do you agree or disagree?
Well, Bob coming back afterwards in hindsight is 20-20, saying, well, I ran him back in 3 weeks. I haven't had a chance to do anything. I think he was 1,326 pounds when he ran and weighed in about 1,306 when he ran the other day. So he'd lost 20 pounds, but he looked like a beast. He's just so big and stocky. And was I overly impressed with his run? Not really. I thought Ginobili ran an incredible race. Storm the Court, I think perhaps the ownership group were maybe a little bit down on him, but you've got to look at the long game with him. He galloped out way in front of the rest of the field. And I think that's what we need to look at when we're looking at horses running a mile and a quarter.
Exactly. I thought it was a very good race. It was assigned a buyer number of 92, which I think is grossly undervaluing the race.
That's for Nadal.
I actually looked at the other. There was only one other sprint race that day. So I compared the times and I used the buyer speed chart in his book and the beat length chart and all those other stuff. And I came up with a buyer number that really was a lot closer to 100 based on his own system. I don't know where they got the 92. So I really think that it'll prove to be a much stronger race than the moderate 92 buyer number will give it credit for. So now what happens? All right, Nadal will probably end up going to the Rebel.
Correct.
Bob thinking, I talked to him this morning, he was thinking that he's a, you know, very heavy body type horse. I'm not sure that he's getting over this deep track as well as maybe he will somewhere else.
Well, the chances are it'll probably be raining at Oaklawn for the Rebel, and he'll skip over there just like many of Bob Baffert's horses have done over the years leading up to the Derby.
That's for sure. So that's a possibility. Timing is great. Meanwhile, what he will then do is reserve 1,000 words for the San Felipe. And by the way, I was talking to Derek Lawson this morning. He says, what do you do? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I got 1,000 words and then maybe Storm the Court. which one do you choose? I said, you're looking for the Kentucky Derby. You go for the horse that's going to get a mile and a quarter for sure, and that's 1,000 words. And Peter Hurton was saying, he says, he means I have to find a rider? I said, I think he's probably going to have to find a rider now, because I think he was thinking rather than go out of town, he would run him back in that race, would make sense. So we'll see what...
There'll be an awful lot of juggling, and that's what we're going to know. It's already started.
But in terms of Storm the Court, I thought in watching him work before the race, I actually came away with the conclusion in my own mind that he was going to be a race away, and which is fine. Okay, you build towards the big race. You don't have to have the big race right off the bat. So I thought that was fine. So I don't think Nadal lost anything in defeat. He's still undefeated, although now he has to go out and absolutely prove that he can go mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter, which is something that I never really had any worries about with Justify. This colt, I do. Ginobili is a good horse. I don't know how far he wants to run.
And Baltus, you know how competitive Baltus is. Usually if he gets beat, he's, you know, not the grandest of losers. He was absolutely delighted.
Right. He's a nice horse. And Storm the Court, who was fourth, is going to move forward off that race. I thought that was a very legitimate race. And again, impressed with the race and also convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the buyer number was several points lower than what I would have assigned it. And we'll see down the road if that proves to be correct. So Nadal winning in the San Vicente, Bob's got three horses, and I kind of think that he thinks accentuates his best shot right now. We'll see what happens with him. He will run in the San Felipe as the plan is. Meanwhile, the Sam F. Davis on Saturday, and I'm learning to respect Sol Vellante. I thought he was
and
a grass
so
horse.
So you should, because San Vicente, no points. Move on to the Sam F. Davis. Yeah. That does allow Kentucky Derby points, but Sol Vellante really, really impresses. It was like somebody sent him off from a catapult at the 3/8 pole, because he split horses with nowhere to go and just charged home.
If you go back and watch his first two races of his career, both on grass, they were sensational. They were absolutely sensational. Then he runs on a one-turn mile in dirt, and he got kind of outfooted in that race. Chance said, pretty nice horse. Comes back here, and he handles the dirt just fine. He's serious. This is a serious horse. And while I was disappointed that Independence Hall was not able to win, he was 11 lengths clear of everybody else.
He ran a good race. What about his paddock antics again?
Again, but that's my problem with Independence Hall. It's not the ability. He has ability. I just don't know whether he's cut out to be the kind of horse that can take everything in stride. If you're going to be that kind of horse, you have to have the brains of an American Pharoah or a Justify. You have to be able to take everything in stride and not let anything bother you. But that even the paddock stuff didn't bother me as much as the fact that he was pulling, he was too keen early, he was too close to a fast pace, and he paid for it late. Now, he didn't have a strongest path in the race. He had two speed horses. He was sitting third, Independence Hall. He went by them when he was ready, and then he just got tied to the fence and went, and Sol Vellante went by him. And it would have been lovely if he could have reserved himself off four or five lengths off the pace, but he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't cooperate.
I thought that Ortiz rode him as the best horse.
Well,
I honestly can't fault the ride.
I can't either.
I don't think the horse was overly keen. He was in the bridle, but he wasn't rank. I thought he was in a perfect spot.
He was in a perfect spot.
Him any excuses from there. I know the second and the third place, the winner and the second and third place finishes all came from miles back. And I'm not sure how the track was playing that day on Saturday, but they came from a long, long way back.
Well, Sol Vellante was in mid-pack.
Aja Weed was way last.
Yeah, but he also got to be 11 lengths behind. He also got to be 13 lengths for the race, 11 lengths behind in Independence Hall. So he never was in the race. So Sol Vellante now, you have to consider him a legitimate threat, because not only is he a good horse, but he acts like he'll run a mile and a quarter, which is half the battle, right?
Son of Caraconte.
Right now,
who'd have thought it? First crop.
Nice horse. All right, so Sol Vellante wins the Sam F. Davis. I don't know what the plans are for him.
Perhaps New Orleans.
Okay, that makes sense. That's fine. I don't know what they're going to do with the Independence Hall. They may want to go on with them, or maybe they want to figure that.
We didn't run bad. You've got to go on with them.
Here's the question, though. It's not so much that he ran good. He ran a good race, a really good race, but somewhat similar to Nadal. Do you take him seriously as a mile and a quarter horse? And right now, I have my doubts. So.
It's the Derby, so he'll likely go on. All right, let's talk about the Kentucky Derby future pool, which actually closed 15 minutes before the San Vicente, and that's okay because San Vicente is 7 furlongs, no Derby points. Who's on top, Siegel?
Well, the thing about this is that because the pool closed 15 minutes before Nadal ran, if you wanted to bet the Kentucky Derby future pool, you had to project a little bit. So what happened was...
You could project on a 1-9 shot.
Well,
surely you
well,
should
people
be able
did,
to.
But here's the thing. They projected so much that while all other three-year-olds are the favorite at 2-1, of all the horses, all the other 23 horses that was listed in this future book pool, this Kentucky Derby future book pool, pool two, the horse that got the most play was, drumroll, Nadal.
Yeah.
Okay, which I don't think he would have gotten after the San Vicente. Even though he won it, I'm not sure people would sit back there and say, oh, he's going to win the Kentucky Derby. So it turns out the mutual pool is 2-1. Nadal closes at 8-1. Tis the Law at 8-1, who is a very good horse. Dennis's Moment, 10-1. Flavian Pratt's going to end up riding him because his regular rider will be in Saudi Arabia that day, but it's just a one-shot deal. Maxfield at 13-1. Authentic, 15-1. Thousand Words, 16-1. Of that group, to me, the best chance of winning the Kentucky Derby would be, in my opinion, Authentic, but you can make a case for Tis the Law just as easily. I wanted to bring up Maxfield, who got a lot of play, Zoe. And Maxfield, who may be as talented and as good as any colt in the entire crop, but he hasn't had a breeze yet. And it's coming to a point now where if he doesn't breeze like tomorrow, he's probably not going to make a race until the end of March, and that means he's got one shot. That's it. One prep for the Kentucky Derby. That is a tough way to go.
It is a tough way to go. But the one thing with Brendan Walsh and his training, even though he hasn't worked yet, I'm going to guarantee that he may be fitter than a lot of horses that haven't worked yet. He puts a good foundation into them, and that's part of the course what makes Brendan an excellent trainer. So I think once you see him work, and just remember, he's based on the East Coast. East Coast horses generally don't have those 4-5-8s, 6 furlongs, 7-8s, West Coast Bob Baffert-esque works. They seem to manage to get them ready off a handful of half-mile 5-8s works. So this is the thing where you're judging East Coast and West Coast horses,
okay.
And that's how we got ready before.
Let's just project. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, Maxfield works this week.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to happen. And he starts off with a half mile. Then he goes 5-8s, 3/4s. Another 3/4, that's 4. Then he runs, right?
Oh, he'll probably work at least two half miles,
right.
A couple of 5/8.
Well, again, we're 6 weeks away, or close to 6 weeks away from
I'll call
April
Brendan,
1st.
And I will find out next
Thank
week.
You. Find
I
out.
Will definitely call
Brendan.
Because
I love the horse. I think Maxfield is fantastic, okay? I want him to be fit enough to run in the Derby, because I think a horse like that is good enough to run in the Kentucky Derby. I want to see him naked.
Okay. Last year, for the fifth straight year in Pool 2, the field closed as the 5-2 favorite. And 5 years in a row, they have had the winner.
The mutual pool?
Yes, the mutual pool. Is the winner in the mutual pool, or do you think it's the others?
In this particular case, I don't know of any horse out there that I'm waiting on that would qualify as not being in the top 23. So I'm going to say that the streak gets broken this year, that the Kentucky Derby winner is among the 23 that was listed in the future wager that closed on Sunday. But if there's one out there that didn't qualify that's going to win the Kentucky Derby, I want to know about it. And I've done a lot of reading and checking, and I can't find one, Zoe, unless you can help me on something.
I'll mention something in a minute. Let's talk about your Elite Eight.
Okay.
We have a new horse on top, Authentic. Nadal has moved all the way down to number 5.
I had him number 1. I saw enough of him in the San Vicente to think that while he's a terrific racehorse, I just don't know about a mile and a quarter. Authentic is a very, very good horse. And he's going to run in the San Vicente. Bob doesn't want to ship him. And then he'll probably use that and parlay it to the Santa Anita Derby. And if he continues to be undefeated, which I think he will, then he is going to be the Derby favorite, I believe. Tis the Law, number 2 this week. Dennis's Moment, number 3. We're running the Fountain of Youth. Apparently training really well. Sol Volante, I have to put him number 4, Zoe. That race in the Sam F. Davis was outstanding. I've got Nadal 5, Thousand Words, number 6. Governor Morris, number 7. We'll talk about him in a bit. And then I put Maxfield in at number 8 just because of my faith in Brendan Walsh and the fact that I know he's a good horse. But please kick on with it already. That's my top 8.
Okay, let's look forward to Valentine's Day. And we're going to take you to Tampa Bay Downs for an allowance optional claiming going 1 mile and 40 yards, Siegel. And it looks like we have a field of 6 and marks the 2020 return of Governor Morris, or Gouverneur Morris for Top Letcher, and Untitled, who's already run once this year.
Gouverneur Morris was a 9-length maiden winner at Saratoga for Todd Pletcher, came back and ran a distant second to our friend Maxfield. And I thought Maxfield was spectacular that day, but Gouverneur Morris ran well in his own right. He was very wide. He makes his comeback for Pletcher. He has been training at Palm Beach Downs, goes up to Tampa Bay, and very good colt by constitution. He's running against Untitled, who was an 11-length maiden winner from Mark Cassie. Got bounced around, had a bad trip, I thought, in the swale when he was fourth beaten 7 lengths. His buyer number dropped from 98 to 79. Usually you like to see it the other way. But Untitled on the outside of 5 will get every chance without traffic to show what he can do. That is a pretty salty race. It goes as the 6th on Friday at Tampa Bay Downs. It might not be that much more difficult, really, those two in it, than the Southwest. So very important race.
It is. We've seen a lot of Derby horses prep in allowance races at Tampa Bay Downs. And
always
just
dreaming.
To be clear, yeah, Untitled was a private purchase when he broke his maiden
after
by 11.
Race, yeah.
Ralph Nix had him and they bought in. So Gary Young and Michael Sebastian, now the owners on Untitled. That is race number 6.
Gary Barber.
Yeah, Gary Barber.
Gary Young would be happy to have one. He would love to have part of him, but I think it's Gary Barber. Okay.
It is Gary Barber.
I'd love to have part of him,
all right,
too.
Well, let's move on and talk about the Risen Star. Two divisions. They've got so many horses down there at the fairgrounds. They've got two divisions. Both will contain 85 Kentucky Derby points, 50, 20, 10, 5, and 2 divisions. Now, let me ask you this. They go as race 12 and race number 13. Which is the easiest division, Mr. Siegel?
Well, I think the best horse in the group is in the second division, so we'll talk about him in a bit. The first division goes as a 12, 5:38 Central Time. And in looking at this race, the LeCompte first 3 finishers are in the race. Enforceable, who won it from way out of it. That's a Tappet colt trained by Mark Cassie. Silver State is also in the race. He was second in that race, a lightly raised hard-spun colt trained by Steve Asmussen. And then Mr. Monomoy, who was third beaten less than 2 lengths, Palace Malice colt for Brad Cox, he's in there. So it depends on what you think of the LeCompte. I thought it was a decent race. I don't think it was like mouth-watering or anything like that, Zoe. I was looking at maybe some of the newcomers in the field. I didn't see anything in there that I liked. So to me, it looks basically like a repeat of the LeCompte. And they're all kind of finished together, so I don't really have a feel for it. Do you?
I thought Enforceable was a justified winner of the LeCompte. He ran into a pretty solid pace there at the fairgrounds, got a good trip, came from way, way out of it, 89 by a speed figure. But if you're looking figures-wise, Brett Calhoun has Digital. He's going to show some pace down towards the rail. And then Blackberry Wine for Joe Sharp. He showed a lot of pace last time out. First time they'd really put him on the lead on a fast racetrack, and he ran off and hid with a 94 by a speed figure. Those two alone are good enough to beat the top 3 finishers in the LeCompte.
It's a very deep race. We'll learn a lot about the horses in the first division and see where they're headed. The second division, this is intriguing to me because Anna D'Or, who was a maiden winner at Golden Gate, beaten ahead in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile by Storm the Court, and then beaten the neck by 1,000 Words in the Los Al Futurity, he comes back first-time blinkers. And if you remember his races, Zoe, both in his last 2 races, he looked like he was going to sweep on by. And
he didn't.
He didn't. And maybe the blinkers will help. You can see he's been working fantastic at Golden Gate Fields. I was thinking that they would bring him back in the El Camino Real Derby this Saturday. It's in his own backyard. He's proven on the all-weather. I thought it was a little strange that Blaine Wright decided to ship him to the fairgrounds instead. I know there are points involved. There's more money involved. This is a $400,000 stake as opposed to the $100,000 purse of the El Camino Real at Golden Gate Fields. So I thought that was a little bit strange. Joel Rosario picks up the mount.
Joel's going to have a lot of Derby horses. Joel actually flew up there to work him.
Really? I did not know that.
He flew up to Golden Gate to work him. in his last work, where he bullet worked there in 112 and change with the blinkers on, and I think he liked what he felt. And for a horse with the blinkers on who perhaps hangs, is the long stretch going to be beneficial to him or not?
I think it'll help him as long as he puts his head down and runs straight.
He's also going to be put in the race, and Joel Rosario historically is not a guy to put him in the race, but if you tell him to put a horse in the race, he can, but he's got a long stretch, so he's got a long way to catch up.
Well, blinkers go on, so very intrigued to see how this Son of Medallion Oro matures and develops, because I think there's upside there that maybe some of the others don't have. It's still a good field other than Ana de Oro. You've got Liam's Lucky Charm, just won the Pasco at Tampa Bay by more than five lengths, 91 buyer number, which is very legit, very good race there. A few others in here that look intriguing, but to me, that's the one colt that I think, that is Ana de Oro, I think he's got a chance to move into the upper echelon, but he's got to go out and do it. I still can't figure out. Go back and watch the Low South Futurity on YouTube, and you will not believe how he didn't win that race.
Blinkers are definitely going to help him.
Very, very interesting.
All right,
race.
Some great races at the fairgrounds, and we do have a champion coming back at the fairgrounds. Her name is British Idiom. She'll run in race 11, the Rachel Alexander. This as well. This is Kentucky Oaks points towards Oaks Day on the first Friday of May, 50-20-10-5. And who's her main competition in
probably
here?
Probably Finite. I think that's a really good filly as well. So that's going to be a very interesting race. And we had a little bit of a changing of the guard, I think, out here in California among the three-year-old fillies, because Zoe, we saw a filly, that's a very, very fast
Venetian Harbor
Munnings filly who won the other day, won the mile race.
Just gone this past weekend.
Right. Whatever it's called. You know what it is.
It'll come to me in just
okay.
a minute.
But anyway, so your impressions of Venetian Harbor. I mean, is she an Oaks filly, or is she just a fast filly who can outrun everybody going a mile?
No, she ran superbly this past weekend at Santa Anita. If I could think of the race's name, it'll come to me in just a moment.
Las Virginas.
For the Las Virginas, yeah. For Richard Bolters. I thought she ran so well. Now, she trains down at San Luis Rey Downs, okay, because she can be a little keen. She's comfortable down there. Richard Bolter up the day before. Was watching her, he's telling me going down the backside, the saddle slipped up her neck, looked like she was running off the day before the Las Virginas, and he was just in a mess because he thought she'd gone too fast. Same thing, broke out the gate, going down the backside. She was pretty keen. She looked like she was running off. Then she relaxed. She let the field come to her, and most importantly of all, Siegel, she rebroke. And then she went about her business to win by 9 3/4 lengths. She was absolutely outstanding and another progeny of Munnings.
Yes, for sure. So I was a little concerned about her showing too much speed. I would have liked to have seen her switch off a little bit, but we'll see if she can stretch out now and go a little farther. And again, Derek Lawson, Flavian Pratt's agent, says to me, "What'd you think of that filly?" I said, it's great. I mean, Venetian Harbor is a terrific filly, and we previewed her on our black book after her maiden win. We kind of predicted that. He says, "What do I do then when she has to run against Donna Veloci?" He said, "That's your problem."
I think I know what I do.
You'd probably stick with Venetian Harbor, right?
I think I would. All right, let's talk about the Santa Monica Stakes at Santa Anita.
That's our feature race this Saturday. Good race, 7/8 for fillies and mares. Hard Not to Love, Mother among those that I think are going to run. I'm not sure. There's a few others in there that have been nominated that could
Queen
show
B
up.
Queen B to you. She worked this morning. She's nominated for Andrew Lerner. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see that. That comes up on Saturday. There's actually, it's holiday racing this weekend, so we have a really good three-year-old race on Monday. In that race, the Southwest at Oaklawn Park. I don't know who's running in that race. I saw the nominations. There didn't seem to be anything that jumped off the page. I looked at the website. They didn't have any kind of preview or anything like that. But Basin, Gold Street, I guess if it rains, Gold Street will be tough to beat.
I'm sure Ancient Warrior just ran.
Yeah, I see, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of nominations of that race field that it could make it a big field. I don't know how good it's going to be, though. But we'll watch it because you never know when the next star should show up. So that's a race that's going to be on Monday of next week, the Southwest at Oaklawn Park. Dennis's Moment, who you mentioned, Zoe, will be running in the Fountain of Youth with Flavian Pratt. He had a real good breeze on Saturday, and prepping for the Fountain Youth, won a minute in the fifth. He's a good horse, don't you think?
Dennis's moment?
Yeah.
I think he's a really good horse. I thought he was a really, really good two-year-old. I want to see how he progresses. I know he's been working very well down there at Gulfstream Park. You can see his works on XBTV. He looks like he's grown up a little bit. I know that Dale's extremely happy for him. So I actually can't wait to see him. And that's going to be a pivotal point for me in the road to the Kentucky Derby.
Mucho Macho Man Stakes winner Chance It. Went 5/8 on Sunday in 59/3. I'm not sure how much respect he's been getting, but he's not going to lay down. You got to outrun him if you're going to beat him. And he obviously looked good winning the Mucho Macho Man. The race has already proven to be productive. We know that. So it'll be interesting to see what he shows up. Out here in California, speaking of workouts, I don't know if you got to see this workout or not, Zoe, but Honor AP, who he's a kind of a wise guy horse, and he might be among those that didn't make the top 23 in the future pool book pool, that he could actually maybe he even did make that list.
I'm not sure that he did, but he's a son of Honor Code, and I think that we're going to see a big surge of these progeny of Honor Codes, because they certainly weren't 2 year olds.
No, he was Honor Code AP actually won his maiden bath last fall. We have not seen him since.
Right,
he won a minute and change. He's going to run back in the San Felipe. He's another one of these late developing type colts that could be really good, and he's got classic written all over him. I mean, he looks like a horse that would run a mile and a quarter, mile and a half, no sweat. So Honor AP is doing well, and just hope that it's February now, Zoe, so now the rain starts to come. So now you got to be careful.
Oh, it's not going to rain, Siegel. It's not going to rain.
It's February.
In California.
It's going to rain. I just hope it rains on the Monday or the Tuesday or the Wednesday that we don't race. That would be nice. So anyway, that's it. So you're headed up north Saturday, are you not?
I am, yeah. Along with yourself, yeah. Mr. Siegel. We're going to go up and we're going to cover the El Camino Real Derby. We'll also have some VOD stuff that we'll do right before we go. We're probably going to handicap the card. For Golden Gate Fields, looks like it's going to be a really, really good card. And you know what? I have never been up to Berkeley. I've never been to Golden Gate, so I'm excited to go.
It is incredible. It is a beautiful track right on the bay. You can look, you look over in the behind
the
grandstand.
The weather's good.
See the Golden Gate Bridge.
I've run across that. Yeah, I did the marathon there many years ago.
I've drove over it, but yeah. Not running over it. But so you'll love it. It's a beautiful track. It's just
Will you give me the tour?
Yeah, I will, but I will say that. I went to school up there at San Jose State, so specifically because it was close enough to Golden Gate Fields during my college days that I could make the races on Saturday.
Right.
So I know that racetrack very well. Right up Berkeley, you can see the Berkeley right on the hill there. You can see the football stadium. So it's going to be really fun, and it's going to be an important race. I don't know how pivotal it will be in terms of the Derby prospects, and I don't know who's going to run quite yet. I know I'd love to see you up there, and I have not seen who's going to run yet. But also, KP All Systems Go. Remember his impressive win on the grass? Well, grass horses can be all-weather horses as well. And he's nominated to the race, so I wonder if we'll see KP All Systems Go. Azul Coast is a Bob Baffert colt. You'd think that he would be a kind of colt he would send over there.
Bob's been up there before.
He sends his three-year-olds up there, yeah. So why not? So anyway, that comes up Saturday. That is the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate Fields.
Well, Siegel, I think that will do it. We've had all kinds of advice from yourself. Happy Valentine's Day.
Same
to one
you.
And all.
It's Friday, so you'll be on a plane. I'll be
on a plane with you and Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what's better than that to celebrate your Valentine's Day with Jeff Siegel and Brian Martinez?
It's going to be...
Sky's the limit.
Yeah, right. It's going to be fun.
We'll
hit the town, Fisherman's Wharf, Friday night. Okay.
But Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Cabin. We'll see you next week.